Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
All right, folks, looks like we're ready to rock and roll here. It's another edition of the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Hello, I'm your host, Mark Hoffman. Hello, everybody there in the live feed. Looks like the audience is cranking up a little bit. Denise is watching, Miss Denise Freeman. What's happening? A longtime fan of the Patriot Nation Radio Show and friend. We used to have some really great shows together back in the day. Maybe one day we'll get in an environment where we can do that peacefully again, because we had some great, great shows. What's up, Steve? What's up, Betty? Timothy, Christina, hope you're feeling better, Christina. Hope get well soon. Carly, Steven, once again, Lynn, Paul, my good friend Paul, what's happening? Thanks for watching. Everybody there in the live feed again, please share, and share alike. Thanks, Daniel, Kenny Connolly, one of the best Hammond B3 organ players I have ever had the pleasure to know. You know, we got a big show on tap for you tonight, but check this out. I'm going to screen this call, make sure that this is the Colonel, and we'll be back in 2 minutes and 40 seconds with Colonel Mike McAllister for Agriculture Commissioner right after this.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
There you have it, folks. Colonel Mike.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number, or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty, and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws, and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today.
Right on. And we're talking about local-level politics today, folks. As we're talking for me locally, Natalie Kaler and Joel Frinton are going to come on at the second half of the show talking about the things that are important to me in my county. And maybe, folks, I like people to stick around and listen, because then you get an idea of what kind of questions you might want to ask. Maybe take some hints and pointers and ask your own good questions, but see what I'm doing. I ask them the tough questions. Hello, Denise. Thanks for tuning in. Betty Ann, thank you. Thank you, Kenny. Yes, indeed, folks. And folks tell me all the time, you got to remember, when I'm looking at the camera so I can read the comments, it's a backwards camera. So everything's backwards. So when I'm doing this, it's my hand on my heart and my earring. Hey, look at that. A rainbow warrior, according to this camera. You know what I'm saying, folks? But without further ado, I would like to bring in our featured guest this evening, because it's a very important position, and we're really pushing for Mike to get this position. He's the only veteran running for this position. Colonel Mike McAllister, Agriculture Commissioner of Florida, is the only one, from what I could tell, has a degree in agriculture. His position is very, very important. He makes a lot of decisions. Tonight I want to ask him one question I forgot to ask last week when he was on, is what he does and what his position is covering during hurricanes. So without further ado, let's bring on our featured guest tonight, Colonel Mike McAllister, for Agriculture Commissioner of Florida. Welcome to the show, sir. What's happening?
Well, thanks for having me on. And again, you know, what the work you do and your listeners, the role that they play is so important in saving our nation and our state and our communities for our kids and our grandkids and our future generations. And my hat's off to all of you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. And I agree. And I try to tell folks to listen to alternative media because it's where you get the truth. You don't hear the spin. You don't hear the lies. You don't hear the same story on 10 different stations. You hear every alternative media guy's covering something different and bringing you the truth. It's important. And look what they're doing to Alex Jones now. They're squashing Alex Jones completely. Crazy.
Well, and you know, anyone that takes a stand against the New World Order and the liberal media, they always find some way to discredit them or try to sabotage what they do. And it's all a part of this trying to take America down and eliminate our history and our culture. And they just can't stand the thought that our future generations may be fortunate enough to grow up in an America like we did. And they just can't stand that. But we're going to stand tall and stand strong, and we're going to protect this great nation for its rightful owners, which is our future generations.
Yes, indeed. When I was growing up, I was a free-range kid, which meant, kid, when the street lights come on, come home. Have fun. The neighborhood's big. See you when the sun goes down.
Yep. I remember those days myself. And, you know, we're out here running for this office. A lot of people don't know much about it. But first, let me just say, you know, even though we've taken no special interest money, we have sold no favors. You know, we have done this strict, purely grassroots. We're rapidly climbing in the polls, and we're already up to within the margin of error of several of the candidates, and we're within striking distance of winning this thing tomorrow. And we just need all your listeners to be sure they vote tomorrow and vote for Mike McAllister for Agriculture Commissioner. As you were saying, I'm the only military veteran in the race, being a retired colonel, and the only one that I myself have a degree, majoring in agriculture, and a Florida nursery license. So we feel like we give everybody what they're looking for, but we will serve the people. That's why we didn't take special interest money, didn't take Big Sugar money. We owe no favors so that we are positioned to do what's right for the people of Florida.
Hallelujah. And that's what I like about President Trump. This guy is he's 70 years old, 71 years old. He has $10 billion and he gave up everything, his whole life, what was going on, to run our country and take all this abuse. And he wants to do it again for another 4 years when 2020 comes along. God bless people like you guys. We need people like you guys. It's very important. Folks, we're talking with Colonel Mike McAllister, running for Florida Agriculture Commissioner. It's a very important job. And one of the questions I wanted to ask the last time, but I forgot, was in the instance of a hurricane, what is the Agriculture Commissioner's job there? You know, we got a category four.
It serves, you know, in multiple ways here. And it is a very big job. It's often considered the second most important job in the state, only to the governor. And when we have a disaster, one of the things is the Commissioner of Agriculture is a member of the governor's cabinet. You have the governor, Commissioner of Agriculture, the Attorney General, and the Chief Financial Officer. And as a cabinet, they make many decisions collectively. And keeping in mind, you know, the cabinet, each one are elected. And you could even have a cabinet that's of different parties. So it's important for them to work together, particularly in disasters. So they would be making decisions collectively to oversee the emergency state if we have hurricanes. But also the Commissioner of Agriculture oversees the Forestry Service, so we certainly have concerns about our forest. It's responsible for animal welfare, and certainly the animals out in the wild are at great risk and peril when we have these. And I know for me, I'm a real animal lover and animal advocate, and they're a big part of our life in our state. And of course, you bring it to the core mission of this job is our agriculture. And I know for me, I'm a palm tree grower. And even last year when we had the hurricane, you know, it's a great stress and a great risk that our agriculture has when we have hurricanes. So we want to do everything we can to prepare for it, but you can't stop them and you can't control them. You just have to do everything you can to buckle down before the storm hits, and then to have emergency operations in place and operating, and even the cleanup afterwards. So there's a lot of parts this job plays in all of that.
You were talking about animals and taking care of the animals. I had a gentleman on, he's running for state attorney down in the Naples, Fort Myers, Marco Island area down there. And he's running against a state attorney whose prosecution rate is 39% and fails to prosecute and go after these illegal slaughterhouses that are down there that are like really hurting the animals inhumanely and abusing them greatly. And it's been proven. What can the Agriculture Commissioner do there for these illegal slaughterhouses down there in the Naples area?
Yeah. And I know exactly the individual you're talking about, and him and I together went down there and did a live stream and had a rally against this. You know, as the Commissioner of Agriculture, you do have a law enforcement part of that office, and you are responsible for Florida's animal welfare. So I would work in close conjunction with individuals such as the person you're talking about, and we would shut those down and prosecute the individuals. I mean, we can't have illegal slaughterhouses going on, people slaughtering animals and then selling the byproducts on a black market. And this is one of the things I would definitely shut down and work in close collaboration and cooperation with individuals such as who you're talking about for state attorney. It's appalling that this goes on. And one other thing I'll mention, when you talk about the emergencies, like with the hurricanes, one of the jobs I had in the military one time when I was a company commander, I had two state emergency duties that I was the commander on back in Missouri. And I do understand emergency duty operations, and we certainly would want to do everything we can in helping our citizens and our industries and our wildlife. And you know, this is a big deal. We're a big state with a lot at risk that probably gets hit harder than anybody when it comes to the hurricane season.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, that was, we're talking about Chris Crowley running for state attorney down in the Southwest District of Florida against Amiri Fox, whose father happens to dedicate a book to his daughter, Florida State Attorney Amiri Fox, that trashes Israel and the Jewish people, and he sits on the chair of the Palestinian Liberation Organization. And she's running the state attorney's office. That would scare me right off the bat, that I wouldn't want to have this lady running my state attorney's office. I don't know about you, but I think Chris is the man. So if you're down in that neck of the woods, folks, make sure you vote for Chris Crowley for a state attorney. Very important to get him on board so you can get these illegal slaughterhouses the hell out of there. So do you have anything you want to add? Go ahead, sir.
No, go ahead. What were you wanting to ask? Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you have anything you want to add that we might not have touched on that the Agriculture Commissioner does or may be involved in that'll make Florida a better place for all of us?
Well, one of the things it does is it oversees frauds and scams as well. And as many people are aware, identity theft is now the number one crime. So when I take a look at this office, It does oversee the fuel pumps and weights and measures, but also frauds and scams. So one of the things that would be a priority for me would be to take actions that eliminate this risk of Floridians and anyone visiting our fine state when they buy gasoline of their credit card being ID theft. And you know, that's going on a lot, and it's unbeknownst to the gas owner. So we need to get that in check. The 1-800 call number. So I tell you what, we've got to get that in check where Floridians are not bombarded by all these 800 calls selling products that they don't want to buy. So we need to get the 800 enforced. But we also want to make sure we protect our concealed weapons. Yeah, go ahead.
Scam Likely calls me on a daily basis. Folks in the live feed, Jim Garrow's watching. Hello, Jim. Come on the show one day. I would love to have you come on the show. Go ahead, sir. Sorry.
Yeah, no, we've got to protect our Second Amendment rights, which are under attack constantly. And, you know, one of the jobs I had in the military is, and I may have mentioned it last week, but I was a logistics officer. And, you know, when I saw, you know, I was responsible for weapons and ammunition for a combat engineer battalion. And we had 18 and 19 and 20-year-olds that were serving our nation in uniform. And this law that we passed, once again, blaming innocent people for the actions of those that are criminal, just is not the American way. We just can't let it happen. We've got to protect our Second Amendment rights. We've got to protect our rights to bear arms. And I will take strong efforts on that, both in this job that oversees the weapon permits, but also in a cabinet position to perhaps influence better legislation that may restore the rights that were taken away from our 18, 19, and 20-year-olds last year by – yeah, and it's just, you know, it's a constitutional right that every American citizen has, and we can't ignore that, and we can't just keep letting our founding fathers' intentions be taken away from us. We've got to take a stand. We've got to put people in office that aren't bought and paid for by the political elite and by special interest, and that's what's going to happen tomorrow. And that's why we're asking people, vote for Mike McAllister. I've not been in office. I don't owe any political favors, and this is how we've got to clean this up.
Amen. Hallelujah. In the second half, I have a young lady, Natalie. She's pretty much like you. She's just a regular person, fed up, and she had ran for a lesser office and won, and now she's running for a county commissioner here in Hernando County, Florida. And, you know, she's just like a mom and a resident who's just had enough, you know, and wants to make a difference. That's the kind of people you look for. You know,
well,
she has
it is.
Good experience.
And oftentimes, you know, candidates that aren't in office like me and her or Chris down in, you know, he's a obviously a lawyer, but he's a military JAG. He's got a great experience there wearing a uniform. I know for my office, when I look at the resumes of the people I'm running against and my credentials, you know, yes, I'm not in office now, but being in one political office doesn't prepare you for any other office. And you may sit on a committee in your part-time job in Tallahassee, but if you are, you know, working on in healthcare during the week, that doesn't make you qualified for fuel pumps and weapons permits and agriculture. And we feel like, I mean, I have a PhD in management. I have as much education as anybody in this race. I'm the guy out here fertilizing and spraying my trees. I have probably more hands-on experience in agriculture than anyone in the race. You know, I have an ag degree, but I also had the logistics experience. I was the guy overseeing mess halls and food safety and fuels and vehicle repairs, and that all comes under this office. So we would ask your listeners to realize just because someone's been in office – and they have their umbilical cord plugged into the financial streams of the special interest, doesn't mean they have a resume that matches the job. They probably wouldn't get hired in the private sector, but in politics, we seem to want to keep electing people that are in office.
And you know what? It's the craziest thing. It's like a vicious cycle. We vote for these turds, and then we bitch about these turds after we voted for them in. Oh, my God, we voted them in, and they did the same thing the last time we voted them in, but we voted them in anyway.
Yeah, it's name recognition. And sometimes they don't even know why they recognize the name. And we're all guilty of that. You go in the ballot booth and you look for names. But we're hoping that people this time will realize if we want someone to oversee agriculture, let's get someone with an agriculture degree and an agriculture license. And if they're going to oversee vehicle repairs and weapons, let's get someone that has real-world experience and overseeing vehicle repairs and weapons. And that's what the message we're sending. Yep.
See, folks, Colonel Mike McAllister has all the credentials needed for this position. It's like his resume was created just for this position. Patriot Nation Radio fully backs Mike McAllister, Colonel Mike McAllister, for Agriculture Commissioner of our state. I think he's the guy that's going to get rid of these, finally, these skimmers that these people put on the gas pumps, for crying out loud. I've never got skimmed yet, but how the heck do they do this and create these items that skim people's credit cards? And it's crazy. How do they get away with that even for a second? It's crazy.
Well, it is. And you just have to remember that in today's world of technology, the criminals are quite sophisticated. And they are quite capable, and they tailor to the crime very well. And we just have to have high awareness, and we have to be on the lookout. We have to increase, obviously, with the station owners and operators. You know, we have to help them continue to develop higher awareness that, you know, routinely checking for that, and customers reporting anything that looks suspicious or loose on the card holder or the credit card device there. We just have to continue to be on guard and aware and have the public protecting itself the best we can. And it's just important that, and I know with your listeners, it makes me so proud to be on your show. They're the ones that are going to make sure that this country is protected and stays free and sovereign. And it's going to be listeners like you have that are standing up to the special interest and standing up to the New World Order liberals and standing up, okay, to the career politicians that want to make everything about them. And we've got to stop electing people that it's all about their political career and put people in office that are qualified for that job and put people in office that are going to look out for our state and our nation and our independence and freedoms and inalienable rights. And it's just critical. Election day is when we do this, though. We got to take it serious. We got to make sure we know when we go in there who we're going to vote for and why. And we get rid of these people that are just not going to do what's right for us and our children and grandchildren. We got to get rid of it.
And this race, that this position you're running for tomorrow, it's settled in the primary election. People go to the ballot box tomorrow and settle it, correct?
That's right. Tomorrow's the election day. We're asking them. It's one of the statewide offices. You know, it's Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services. And in that block, I'm the third name, Mike McAllister, and we're asking for their support. And again, we've taken no special interest money. I owe no favors. I'm going to go into this job and do what's right for Floridians and my grandkids and our future generations. That's why I'm running. I'm not in office. I'm not looking for a political career. I'm looking to go in here and protect Florida's families, freedoms, food, water, and animals. And I need their support and put their ex in the block next to Mike McAllister is what we're asking for.
No, folks, don't put an ex. I got specifically instructed on how to fill out our ballots. It's not an X, Mike. It's a
fill in
that
circle.
Oval.
Yeah, fill in the oval. You're so right. Yep.
No checks.
You're so right.
X's.
Yep.
Fill
you
in
gotta
the
fill
oval.
In the oval. That's right.
So when that ballot goes in that little scene, it reads what you marked correctly. You put an X, you put a check, someone has to actually physically go through those ballots one by one. And count.
Yep.
So
kind of like it when I was in high school. Yeah, it was kind of like in high school taking the SAT or the ACT. You have to fill in the bubble. So that's what we're asking them to do. Yep.
Remember, it was the number 2 pencil. Make sure you had the number 2 pencil, and you filled in that little bulk. You didn't fill in that little bottle.
I remember.
Yeah. Well, you see a lot of people that are voting. Maybe, you know, there's a good chance that a lot of people are voting, didn't make it to those tests, and not all have the full education they deserve, and they don't know even to fill in the bubble. So we got to help them too. So that's why we got to tell them, fill in that bubble. No X, no check. Fill in the oval.
Yep, you're so right. You're so right. Because the people listening to your show, I have confidence, are going to vote for candidates that will do the right thing for America. And that's what we've got to do tomorrow. We've got to take this on, and we've got to support this president, put people in. I was one of the things when I was the national spokesman of Citizens for Trump, I was astonished at how many times I would go to Republican executive committee meetings around the state. And there are, you know, people, Republicans, that were mad that Donald Trump's president. And this man's going to save our country. So we've got to put people in office that will have the America First agenda, that will do what's right for us and our families, and support President Trump so that we can get this country back on track where it needs to be.
Amen. Well, I have another colonel coming on the show for my 9/11 tribute special. His name is Colonel Jim Warshak. You might recognize the name.
I know him. He's an Air Force guy. he's a good man.
He is right now head of the Hillsborough County Republican
REC.
Party. He's running that party over Hillsborough County right now. And he'll be joining us for 9/11 because I know after 9/11, he was pretty synonymous in the battles that ensued after we were attacked on 9/11. And I'm going to play a great poem. I do a tribute every year. A friend of mine, Rick, in conjunction with a friend of his, wrote this amazing poem that they did professionally in a studio. And it's really awesome. We're going to play that. And then Colonel Jim will join us. You're more than welcome, Mike, to join us again if you'd like to say hello to your old friend, Colonel Warshak.
He's a good man. He's a smart man. You know, he had a very important job in the military political environment at U.S. Central Command. And so, your listeners will enjoy him. And we need more people like him getting involved in what's going on in America and in our state and in politics.
Yes, he was down there in CENTCOM doing some great work. We're going to talk to him all about it. That's September 10th for our 9/11 special. So make sure you don't want to miss that. That's going to be a heck of a show. I've done it now 5 years in a row. I've played this poem every year 5 years in a row because it's amazing. And when I play it, make sure you have tissues. You must have tissues.
Well,
very important.
You do great work. And I say it again, you know, your listeners, their heart's in the right place. They are so needed and so important and critical in this fight for America. And this is a serious fight because we are up against a well-funded and well-organized adversary that want to take America down. That's why they don't want borders. That's why they want to take our guns away. And it's listeners like you have and the work you're doing that are really a big pillar in this fight to keep America safe and sovereign and free for our future generations. And my hat's off to them. I love them.
Yes.
They are so important.
Absolutely. And without them, there is no show and there's nowhere for us to have this meeting where we can talk about these important issues, such as the role of agriculture commissioner. There's one in every state, correct?
Well, I'm assuming there is. They may have a little bit different name for it, but in Florida, it's a really big job here. Some states it varies a little, but here it's a big job. Overseeing the things that touch almost everyone's life on a daily basis, and that's why I'm running for it. I want to do what's right for Floridians, and I just need your vote. I need your listeners' vote tomorrow.
Yes, indeed. So there you have it, folks. If you're in our area and
it's a statewide ballot, I'm on the ballot from Miami to Pensacola.
Right. If you're a Floridian and Colonel Mike is saying the things you want to hear, and he's your man, tomorrow's your day. Vote Colonel Mike McAllister, Agriculture Commissioner. Very, 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 very important position here in the Sunshine State. Do not forget. Do not miss filling the oval completely. Mike, I want to thank you. Big day tomorrow. Maybe we'll be celebrating Thursday a victory for Colonel Mike.
Thank you much. And your voters will put us there. Your listeners will put us there. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Now, stick around if you want to listen to the rest of the show. We got a pretty important show coming up. Talking about a 3,000-home hamlet they want to put right here in Spring Hill, Florida, in an already overcrowded area. So we're going to talk about pros and cons. There are a lot of pros in the methods that they want to use to get this development made here, because the parcel is going to be developed no matter what. It's privately owned, and they're going to develop it one way or the other. So we're going to figure out if this is the way to do it, or do we let them chop it up and develop it in chunks. We're going to talk about that right here. And then, of course, Natalie Kayla and Joel Frinton are going to join us. They're going to plug their campaigns. Joel is running for clerk and comptroller for Hernando County, and Natalie is running for Hernando County Commissioner. Very important positions in local politics. So stick around, Colonel. I'd love for you to stick around and listen to the rest of the show.
Thank you.
I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to get this second half going. Thanks again, sir, ladies and gentlemen. Colonel Mike McAllister, vote tomorrow and put this guy in the seat of Agriculture Commissioner of Florida. Thank you, sir.
Thank
you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to hit this button right here, and I'm going to screen a couple calls. The switchboard has lit up, so I got to hit these buttons and talk to these folks. So listen to this great jam. You folks in the live feed won't hear the jam, but you folks on the radio world will hear the jam. So you're going to hear the cable version of me screening, and you guys are going to hear the song. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Freedom Rings.
For every soul from every war, across the seas, run ashore, raise every fold of our flag. The coffins are laid, sweet old land, raise every daughter and every son. The price.
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, that's Dave Bray, Freedom Rings. Get your copy of Music on a Mission, DaveBrayUSA.com. Head on over there today and get your copy. We just had some crazy breaking news, folks, and we have a gentleman, he's on hold. He's claiming that Iran has taken over the oil shipping routes over there in the Middle East, in the Persian Gulf. This is breaking right now, apparently, as we speak. So we'll be having this gentleman join us a little bit later on in the show to give us a little bit more of an update on what's actually shaking. He sounds like he might be from that region, so I'll ask him exactly where he is, where he's from, who he is, and all of that fun stuff in a little bit later on in the show. That's crazy. If Iran has taken over the oil shipping routes in the Persian Gulf, it's on like Donkey Kong, folks. That's scary stuff. Oh, boy. Anyway, welcome to the show. Our next featured guest for the second half. He's the chairman of the Hernando County Commission and a Hernando County Commissioner himself. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Steve Champion. Thanks for coming on, sir. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for inviting me, Mark.
Yes, indeed. That's pretty scary stuff. I don't know if anybody else has heard that. If you've heard that and you're
very
on the
scary.
Live feed,
I haven't heard of that, but that's scary, definitely.
Somebody, if you're there in a live feed, please send out a little research and maybe recon research real fast, and I'll bring, I think he said his name, Mike, although, you know, he's probably works in customer service, maybe, I don't know. Yes, hello, my name is Mike, but yes, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
He sounds like maybe he's from that region, and he can tell us for sure. He's getting the news firsthand. But
hey, Mark, real quick, can I cover something real quick before we get started?
Yes, sir. Yep.
So, hey, I know my politics don't agree with John McCain most of the time, but I think it's important
right.
to acknowledge his accomplishments and the fact that he was an American hero, you know, in my opinion, being a POW, et cetera. I think we should acknowledge his, you know, contribution to our country. So hopefully you've addressed this, but his politics didn't always agree with mine, that's for sure. But, you know,
right.
it's a great,
well,
great guy.
Because I'm so on the fence with the whole situation, I was kind of just going to maybe mention him right at the end of the show, may he rest in peace and
yeah.
stuff like that. Because like you, his politics and my politics didn't agree too much, and I have some pretty strong feelings where I stand on Senator and, you know, naval man John McCain.
Yep.
You know, so I don't wish brain
cancer
on my
country. He did fight for our country, and he was a POW, so we got to at least acknowledge
yeah.
that. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. You and I agree 99% of the time. Believe me. Right, so.
Well, I would not wish brain cancer on my worst enemy. I pray for my enemies that we could have peace.
Yep.
I don't pray for them all.
Definitely.
So even if he was my worst enemy on earth, I would not wish that on him and his family, ever, anybody.
Definitely.
Whether we agree on his service or whatever, I think I'm not even going to get into it because he's John
it's
McCain. And
I just want to acknowledge him, man, that his death.
Maybe rest in peace. I hope he rests in peace. That's it. I hope he's able to rest in peace. Maybe not.
Go.
Who knows? But may he rest
yeah.
in peace.
Okay.
So now we're going to be talking a little bit about this hamlet they want to put in the middle of Spring Hill, Florida. 3,000
yep.
homes. And we had talked about this at length already, you know, privately.
Yep.
And I'm kind of convinced that the idea that you guys are putting forth is probably the right idea.
Yep.
So to dispel some of the rumors and hoopla that people are getting misinformed on this 3,000-home hamlet, why don't you tell folks exactly
mm-hmm.
what has gone through the Hernando County Commission and what the plan is in order to save, make this a righteous place, not just a patchwork
there
like Spring Hill is all the place now.
Okay, I want to start with the beginning, right? And, you know, and I am a product of Spring Hill. So just to give you a little history, back in the 60s, the Deltona brothers and that came together and they had this concept and they developed Spring Hill, which is nothing but a big sand dune, basically, a swampland, you know, in Hernando County. And my family, my mother's side came from Connecticut, my dad's side, 5 generations from Hernando County. Guess what? I came to be in the early 70s, right, because of Spring Hill, right? So I know a lot about this, right? So when they
yep.
created Spring Hill, they designated future land use for all of Spring Hill. And all of Spring Hill, for the most part, other than the preserves, were designated residential, commercial, et cetera. this portion, making a long story short, this portion from the beginning was designated residential. Even though it was never designated, it was never developed into residential, it was always a future land user's residential, right? So you got to keep that in mind when you think about this, right? So when the owner of the land, he was adamant about keeping this land and his family undeveloped, et cetera, but he died, right? Just like any other family, he passes away, he leaves it to his heirs, and guess what? His heirs want to do what? Make money with it, right? That's the American dream, and you know what? It's it's private property rights. It's your right to do so with your land, and if you don't like it, buy it. You know, that's what I say to everybody. If you don't like what they want to do with it, then you should buy it, and you should keep it and develop it. So his heirs or whoever's in charge of this property is going, we want to develop this. So they came to the county, and they said, this is what we want to do, but we want to do it a responsible way. We want to create a master plan. We want to develop it all at once, right? So the alternative is either do what we're doing, do this master plan, create all the infrastructure and the water, the sewer, the roads, et cetera, all in one, or they could piecemeal all of it, and it's all legal. They could just start building houses, and there's nothing we can do about it because it is designated for future land use for residential. So that's been our whole argument the whole time is this plan we have is the best plan because it's going to create infrastructure that's going to lessen the burden on the people around it. That makes sense.
Right. And some folks are panicking, like it's going to be 3,000 homes are going to be there, you know, 2020 for the election. You know, it's not going to be an overnight
thing. Yeah.
It's going to be a 15 to 20 years
at least, if the money's there, that's all.
And how do the taxpayers get affected by this in the development part of it?
Well, the taxpayers are going to benefit from this because anytime there's any new development come in and any new infrastructure, the developer's paying for it, right? So when the developer comes in, guess what? When the roads get fixed, they pay for it. When the roads get widened, they pay for it. When the houses get built, the impact fees get paid and they pay for the schools, right? So it is not going to be any burden other than the increased traffic, of course. If you live right there, which I know you do, Mark, you live close to there.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't want more traffic by your house. I get that. I understand that. But at the same time, you understand private property rights because you are the man of the conservative voice. You're the man about property rights, et cetera, and these people have a right to develop their property. What it boils down to is what is reasonable to make it, you know, acceptable for the neighbors. So, and that's where we come in, to make sure that you're not harmed to the point where your property value drops. You know, we have to make sure that doesn't happen as much as we can.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yes, absolutely. And you're a lifelong, basically, resident of this area, and you would know better than most of us who have been here only 15. I've only been here coming up on 17 years, which is not that's not a short time. That's a pretty long time, 17 years in one place.
Mark, real sec. That doesn't make you less valuable. There's a lot of transplants here, and we understand that, right? So most of our county is made up of residents that come from New York, New Jersey, et cetera. That doesn't make them less valuable than someone like my family that's been around here five generations, right? So we're all a community, and if you own property here, it don't matter if you've been here 6 months or 30 years. It don't matter. You know, so we got to do the right thing by everybody.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yep. And so now – What would be the first steps that people could start to look for after the land is prepped? They're going to put in roads first, sewers first. That all happens first, and then they create the lot. Because I don't know. I never really seen a development from beginning to end, although I've been here a while, and I was in the pool cage industry for 5.5 years. I didn't see one from beginning to end. Almost.
Well, in general, what's happening right now is we went through the first couple of hearings, right? And we've approved the master plan, the general master plan, and it's went to the state, and they've kicked it back with no issues, right? Now, what they recently came with is they wanted to add more roads, right, which we like that. More entrances and more exits are better because you can disperse the traffic, right? So you don't have all the traffic on one or two roads. So it started with four, now it's six, right? And the two that were added were going to affect your neighborhood, for example, that were going to come down through there. But there's got to be a lot of things that have to happen before that happens, right? So each piece has to be looked at individually, right? So in general, we look at the whole master plan and we say, okay, we're okay with the whole master plan. But then when they start developing, they say, okay, let's say that road's Stephanie, for example, that's close to you. And they say that they're going to develop 300 houses right there. Well, before they can build even a single house, all that stuff has to be done because the master plan dictates that there are the roads in place, are the sewers in place, et cetera. They can't build the first house without having the infrastructure in place. So you'll see a lot of roads being widening and sewers being put in, et cetera, to make sure they're ready for the first house. So that's what
right.
I mean about the master plan is better for you, because imagine if this people sold lot by lot and they sold Steve Champion two of the lots, I wouldn't have to ask permission from anybody. I can just build a house. And guess what? I'll just start driving down your road, and you don't have to improve nothing. You know? So that's why this thing is so important, when we have to look at the whole plan and go, well, if you're going to put 3,000 houses here, we got to have all these millions of dollars done in the infrastructure. And it's going to be better for you overall when that happens. You know, and I think all the commissioners, we're all unanimous, all five of us, that this is the best plan. Now, the people that live close to there, of course, if I live right next to it, I would not like it. But, honest, without being cruel, I've looked at people and said, if you don't like it, I'm sure it's for sale. I'm sure you can buy it. But I don't mean to sound cruel, but at the same time, it's their property. What do you do? You know, where do you go
right.
with that? You know, it's the American way.
Yep. Hey, they could go, you know what, we decided we're just going to make that 450-acre junkyard.
Well, we don't want it to be something. No. Now, that's where you elect us, right? You elect us in the office and say, well, make sure that you're protecting us, right? That you know, obviously it has to be like use. It has to be within the plan. It has to be designated for residential. Now, if they want to come in and put a big 400-acre hog farm and they want to slaughter a bunch of hogs or something, we say, well, that's not conducive with the area. This is all residential, right? We would say, hell no, we're not going to do that. Excuse my language. I don't know if I can say that. But we would say that we can't do that, right? But they want to put houses in there. I don't think that's not unreasonable. You know what I mean? Considering it's a heavily residential area, you know, that it kind of meets the
yeah.
criteria. Even though it's going to be congested, I get it. I understand that. And, I may not choose to live there. I live in the rural area of the county. I like the woods. I like having acreage.
Right.
But that's where I choose to live. If you choose to live in that kind of area where there's a lot of houses around, then you choose to live there.
Right. And it's already zoned residential since the
yeah.
hamlet was put here. And became actually Spring Hill 50 years ago.
Yep.
You know,
and it's going to take a long time. To your point, it's going to take a long time. So,
right. And I looked at some of the mapping of it, and the sect that's on Dunkirk Avenue is not even
yep.
slated for part of the development. It's still going to remain as patch of woods, as far as I can tell. So, Dunkirk Avenue is safe. The misleading. Things that were coming out was, oh my God, Dunkirk, you know, the people were freaking out about Dunkirk Road. Well, nothing's happening on Dunkirk Road except for maybe you might see a few extra cars once in a while.
Well,
you know,
here's the thing. What it boils down to is we're in the preliminary stages, right? So let's say they get it all zoned and these developers come in and they say, okay, we want to do this, this, and this. And let's say everything goes their way. But there's still got to be hundreds of millions of dollars invested, right? And you know as well as I do with business, it doesn't happen fast. When it's that kind of money in Spring Hill. So what happens is a little bit at a time happens, right? So it's probably going to take 15 or 20 years before this really happens. And you and I are going to be little old men. We're going to be 65, 70 years old going, oh, they finally developed Spring Hill Center. You know what I mean?
And
so it is what it is, but we're planning for this decades in the future, you know?
And you never know. Like, our kids might have whole careers building that place.
You never know. And, you know, and that's what it boils down to. And I tell people all the time, like with the CMEX mine, for example, when you approved that a while back, my family goes back four or five generations in mining in this county. And, you know, this county is known for that. We've been mining lime rock for 100 years here because we have the best
right.
stuff in the entire country. And, you know, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with taking lime rock out of the ground and making cement and sending it all over the world? We have the second highest elevation in the state. You know, so if we have that material and we have that natural resource and it's not affecting anyone, because regardless of what these liberals say, we're not affecting the water or anything like that. So why not have those great jobs for the people? And, you know, and you'd be surprised how many people come out and these tree huggers that attack us going, you're going to affect our water and this and that. I'm like, it's BS. It's not true.
Right.
And, you know, we've been doing it for a long time. And guess what? These people don't make minimum wage that run heavy equipment. Trust me. They make good wages, and what's wrong with that? You know, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, my son, you never know, might have a career building homes in this 3,000 home hamlet, you know, whatever the case may be. Or he might have a career as a landscape engineer.
You know, there's a lot of jobs. You think about it. I mean, you think about the builders, right? And you have the builders, but then you have people like you said. Maybe the sprinkler companies make money. Maybe the landscape companies make money. Maybe the roofers make money. I mean, there's a lot of companies that make money from development. And regardless of what people think, I mean, we don't want it in our backyard. I get it. I love the rural aspect of our county. I love the fact that we're still kind of small town. But let's face it, right? They're moving north. It's getting full in Tampa, and they're coming here. You know, so what do? We just got to be smart about it when we develop. That's all. And that's why this master development is the best thing for us, because if we do that, we can control the builders and make sure that they're doing things the right way. If we allow it to be piecemeal, it will be a disaster for your neighborhood. Trust me, I've seen it. We've seen these plots, and we've seen the things they do out there, and they just piecemeal things together, and it's not good for the community. This way, we control every road coming in, every sewer, everything coming in to the community.
There's going to be a lot of other things that are affected greatly by this, though, because I'll tell you what, this whole summer, I think I've been to Pine Island one time, because if you're not there at 7 a.m., you don't get in. If you want to go to Weedy Watch,
I could tell you a story on that, 100%. I can tell you a story about that whole Pine Island thing, but we could do that another time. But we push this beach thing, and we've got people, like, fighting us left and right about this beach project we tried to put in at Weeki Wachee, at the preserves up there, because Pine Island's full every weekend. Weeki Wachee's full every weekend, but yet we have every liberal out there saying that we're polluting the environment and we're taking away from the preserves when it's an old rock mine that we want to make a beach out of. Figure that out.
Right.
I mean, there's bigger stories here, I tell you. We could have a whole hour show on this down the road if you want to talk about it. I can tell you all about it. It's crazy.
Look what they did at the Sunwest Mine. It's beautiful over there. I love going over there. But we got to kind of get rolling here. One of the things I wanted to ask about this development, too, is how are they going to work the rest of the roads around? Because, we already have a lot of congestion, like, say, at North Cliff and Mariner right now. It's a mess at 5 o'clock. You know, it's like kamikaze, bonsai, they're coming to get you. You know what I mean? You got to, like, really have some skill.
Well, that's where the traffic studies come in. That's where the traffic studies come in. And supposedly the developers, and, you know, I'm not an expert at this, right? But the developers are talking about, this is supposed to be the downtown Spring Hill area. We don't have one now. We really have piecemeal Spring Hill. We just kind of have everything coming together. And, you know, it is what it is. A little bit on 50, a little bit on Spring Hill Drive, whatever, right? This is supposed to be that they're calling the Spring Center, where they can do some mixed commercial, but mostly residential, where there's like a center of town. There's like a town center kind of thing. That's their goal, at least. I don't know if it's going to shake out, but, you know, this is their vision. And when you're talking about hundreds of million dollars, they're talking about like a vision for Spring Hill, right? So their thought is that maybe we keep everybody in that area. There wouldn't be so much traffic out and in, because it would be in that area. But you and I know that it probably will draw people in. It will cause traffic. But that's where the engineers and the master plan comes into effect, where we go, if there's going to be a large increase in traffic and these experts come in, they look at that and they measure it. And when they measure it, they go, well, guess what? Mariner and Spring Hill Drive can't handle that. So if you want to increase and you want to add all these things, you have to improve the infrastructure. And guess what? That's not on the taxpayers. That is on these developers. If it was piecemeal, it's on us, you and I. And that's my point on this whole thing is, because it's a master plan, they have to pay for it all. And they have to all the studies have to be paid by them, all of the research, all of the infrastructure has to be paid by them. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And you know what? If it doesn't work out and it says, hey, it's going to cost you $10 million, they may decide, well, I don't want to do that. Because it doesn't make much sense, you know? So there's nothing set in stone. That's why when everybody gets all upset about it, I go, you need to calm down, because this is the best way. This is where we go, and we're looking out for you. But people don't trust. I get it. It's hard to trust any politicians, right? I get it.
I have on the line with us right now, going to join our show real fast and talk a little bit and give her 2 cents on it. Ladies and gentlemen, running for Hernando County Commissioner, Natalie Kaler. Welcome to the show, Natalie.
Thank you so much.
Say hi to Steve.
My husband and I are out on La- Mike Lindsay in the middle of the night getting signs out still on all the precincts for tomorrow. So having fun.
Hey, Mark, just so you know, Natalie's a good friend of mine, and I've endorsed her for her candidacy. So I hope she wins tomorrow. So good luck, Natalie.
Well, thank you.
Yep.
I hope I win, too.
Yeah, there you go.
But I will say there was one thing that you said, Steve, that I disagreed with on the Spring Center, where you said that if you were right, if it was your neighbor, you wouldn't like it. And I think that although people do get nervous about change, that people in that area are actually going to really benefit by having, you know, they're talking about a fire station. You're going to have closer fire service. You're going to have stores
that
you can walk to. I really think it's going to increase the ability for foot traffic in that area and for people to actually walk the stuff, which would be awesome.
And also, I actually meant as, you know, from the beginning, you know, if you live there,
right.
You're scared of it. You're scared of it because you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but I totally agree with you, because I think it, when it's all said and done, their property values increase and they're in better shape, no doubt about it.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be great for property values in the end. And, you know, and the bottom line is, like you said, and like I said, change is always difficult and we're always going to be skeptical. That's just human nature. So it's up to us to make sure that everything is vetted and that we get the information out to people so they know what's actually happening.
Yep.
Amen. And so, Natalie, tell folks a little bit about your campaign and what you want to accomplish when you become a Hernando County Commissioner. And tell folks that, you know, how they can contact them.
Sure.
There's not much time left. Maybe they can wave a sign somewhere near, you know, across the street from their polling place, however many feet you're
there
supposed to be away from.
Just 100. If you get on my website, which is just nataliekaler.com, you're going to see a whole bunch of things of how I voted and how I intend to vote. You can also send me an email. I will be checking my emails during the day if people are still concerned and have questions as they head in. But one of the things that I've really worked to do on council, on city council when I was there, and especially as role when I was in the role of mayor, is you work to build consensus with your board, because there's a reason that a board has five people and not one, and that's because diversity of thought is a good thing. And what you want to do is take all those ideas and figure out how to work them into a real solution. And we did that pretty well during my mayoral term. We didn't do that so well my last year on council, but that's a whole other story. You know, but that's what you want to do. You want to pull from the strengths of all of the commissioners for the betterment of the community. I think that what I bring to the board, I know what I bring to the board that's not good now, is a vast experience in nonprofit organizations, which tends to budget differently and more along the lines of what I would like to see a little bit in our government, which is, you know, streamlining, trying to figure out how to do things free, not allowing department heads to think because they had a certain amount of money this year that that's what they have to have for the next year. Just rethinking sort of how we do things and processes and helping that to bring the budget cost down.
Amen. Well, Natalie, I'm going to say it right now, ladies and gentlemen. I think Natalie's got my vote here. Seems that a little bit of change might do the commission good. So let's see. I'll be in the ballot box checking Natalie Kaler for commissioner.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Hey, me and my family,
I've already
accomplished that.
Excellent. And two of my kids have already voted for me. I take another one in tomorrow to vote. So I should have five in my own household, too. So I got at least 20 votes. We're good.
Hey, and also joining us, running for clerk and comptroller, Mr. Joel Frinton. Welcome to the show, Joel.
Hey, good evening. Thanks for having me.
Say hello to our wonderful panel, Steve and Natalie, and, of course, your host, Mark Hoffman, Patriot Nation Radio.
Hey, guys, how you doing? I'm out riding around just like Natalie said, but I'm headed out to Ridge Manor right now. So we're canvassing the county and multitasking, which is a good thing.
Yeah, we'll probably see you out there. That's where we're heading to.
They're getting the word out, folks. Now, I think it's great that folks are getting their message out and getting their signs out, but folks, if you're driving down the road and you see one guy's got a lot of signs more than the other guy or the other girl, please don't just vote because of name recognition or he had more yard signs than the other guy, because that's very dangerous to just vote for the yard sign, vote for the name that you see. When you see a name, you recognize it's not hard to research the name and find out. And believe me, folks, you can call your candidates. They'll be glad to talk to you for a minute and try to sway you to vote for them, especially in the local
area. I couldn't agree more. I fielded a couple phone calls today, and I have to echo what you're saying, is that it's very dangerous to just randomly select a candidate, because as we saw through the 8 years of Obama, elections have consequences.
Yeah, and we're watching them unfold in a bogus FBI witch hunt against our current president. Scary stuff. The clerk and the comptroller is an interesting position. What would ever get behest someone to want that position? It seems like it's very stressful and very busy to be watching over all the finances of a whole town.
Well, I've made a career out of stressful and busy. I'm a former criminal prosecutor. I've prosecuted everything from misdemeanor to murder. My current position is I'm general counsel for the sheriff's office. We have a $50 million budget, 665 employees, and I'm the only counsel for that office. So I am well acquainted with stressful and busy. So the clerk and comptroller is a position, at least in Hernando County, that I think people haven't had much of an opportunity to learn about over the last several years, because it's a position that really hasn't been contested. There's been an incumbent for the better part of 40 years. It's been different incumbents, but there really hasn't been a contested election. And those contested elections are what sort of incentivize a voter to learn about a position, such as the clerk and comptroller. And it's a position that really isn't quite a policy position like Steve's position or the position that Natalie's aspiring to. You're not going to raise or lower taxes in this position. Your job is to be the chief financial watchdog for all of Hernando County. There's one elected constitutional officer. So you serve countywide. You serve each and every resident, whether they voted for you or not. There's about 1,000 statutory or constitutional duties that are imposed on the office. You're the official records custodian for the county, and that gets a little trickier than it sounds, because anyone that's ever researched or reviewed public records laws knows that it seems like, at least, that each open records document has at least one or two exemptions or confidentialities tied to it. So it's important to know the law as it relates to that, because if you're to release something unlawfully, confidential information, it's actually a crime in the state of Florida. So it's a very important position. It's a position where you have a great deal of responsibility, and I agree with how you put it, very busy and stressful.
Right on. And if someone wants to help last minute with your campaign, maybe grab a pile of yard signs and head out to, say, you know, Hernando Beach South or something, how could they help you?
Well, you can go on my website, www.joelfritton.com, and reach out. Email address is on there. My cellular telephone number is on there. It actually goes to me, and I'll answer it. I fielded a few phone calls today. And actually, one of them was an elderly lady who just didn't know where she could go vote. She received a mailer from me, and most, if not all, of my mailers have my number on it. And I took her call, and I pulled over, and I was in the middle of walking doors and reaching out and talking to voters in person. So I pulled over, and I pulled her information, and I got her to where she can go tomorrow, and hopefully she goes and votes for me. I think I'm safe on that, but yeah, reach out through the website and call me directly if you need to, and I love your support. One of the things Steve said that I think rings extremely true is there's a lot of residents here that didn't grow up here, that aren't five generations from Hernando County, there's a lot of folks from New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and these are areas that were typically not very conservative, or the majority of the population isn't very conservative. So their voice was silenced, and they've come to a county that is red, and their voice matters both locally and statewide. And I think it's great that we welcome them, and I would just echo the statement that was made earlier. Do your research. There's a lot of information out there. Pick a candidate with the right credentials and the viewpoints that you agree with, because, like I said, elections have consequences, and we want to put the right people in office. And, you know, Steve kind of was talking about the 3,000-person or the 3,000-home town center. We're growing. Everywhere you go, you see new foundations being poured and houses going up and new stores and restaurants coming in. And in sure. order to secure prosperity that should come with that growth, we have to elect the right people. So I urge you, please go out and vote for Joel Frick for clerk and comptroller. I'll be the second one listed on the ballot. And if you have any questions or concerns, reach out to me. I'll be glad to speak with you.
Amen. I want to thank you so much for coming on, Joel and Natalie and Steve. And, of course, our first guest tonight,
thank you.
Colonel Mike McAllister. Now, this story coming out of Iran and the Persian Gulf has been confirmed. Iran has told the United States, you do not belong here. And they have shut down the oil routes. Get ready, folks. It's going to get rough. I'm going to bring in our guest here. I think this is him now. Hey, is that you, Mike?
Yes, sir. Yeah, this is Mike from Singapore. Thank you very much for letting me. I mean, the emergency news is that it is in UK and magazines. I mean, it's all over the world right now, from News World and anywhere you do it. Google it, you will find. Iran takes control of major oil shipping route, warning U.S. U.S., you don't belong here. Oil prices could soar as soon as tomorrow. Iran claimed it had taken full control of the Persian Gulf, a key oil shipping route in the Middle East. And in a provocative statement, Tehran announced it had full supervision over Persian Gulf and said its U.S. Navy doesn't belong there. The Iranian regime has repeatedly threatened to take military action in Gulf to block other countries' oil exports. And experts fear such a move would create a major supply disruption and drive up the price of oil significantly, up to $10 per barrel, per gallon in the United States and North America.
Well, for crying out loud, folks, get out to your gas pumps right now and fill up, because you might wake up to $4 gas. Crying out loud. I want to thank you, Mike, for bringing that breaking news right here. You said you're from Singapore?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm Singapore. Yes, indeed.
What time is it right now in Singapore?
It's 9:09 a.m. Of course, we are ahead of you 15 hours. So it depends where you are. So between 12 to 15 hours ahead of you. So we are August 28, 2008.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Tuesday.
We are talking to the future. I think that's
because
so fascinating.
Because we can move here faster than you guys do. So that's it. Right. Because
we are talking to Friday right now. It is Friday in Singapore, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and spreading
Tuesday,
that news,
Tuesday,
Mike.
Tuesday, August 28th. Not Friday, my friend. Tuesday, August 28th, 2018.
Amen. I want to thank you again, sir,
yes.
for coming on the show. I appreciate it. Right, today's Monday. Oh, my goodness. I'm already ready for Friday.
Yes.
I already
thank
put myself
much,
5 days in. Yes, indeed. And thanks for tuning in. I appreciate it, folks. We have folks tuning in from Singapore. That's amazing. Thank you so much, Mike from Singapore. Folks, that's a wrap. We're going to tell you a little bit about our schedule coming up. This Thursday, I have William Gein from ALIPAC, Americans for Legal Immigration PAC, doing great things to try and make our law enforcement enforce the laws that are on the books. That'll be this Thursday. And then, of course, the 9/11 special with Colonel Jim Warshak on September 10th, Monday, 8 p.m. And I got a couple dates in between, like the 3rd and the 9th or something like that, that I got a book. They're not booked. You want to come on? Let me know. And without further ado, we are going to head out right now with Dave Bray's version of the Star Spangled Banner as performed on his new album, Dave Bray USA, Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition. Let me turn down a little bit the volume because it's probably going to be blaring loud here, right here at the end of the show. And my kid's trying to go to sleep. I don't want to be blasting him out of house and home. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me as we do the national anthem here as performed by Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. Thank you to you, each and every one of you, for tuning in tonight. Thank you, Steve Champion, Natalie Kaler, Joel Frinton, Mike from Singapore. Amazing. And, of course, for Agriculture Commission, Mr. Colonel Mike McAllister. Thank you. God bless. Here it is. The national anthem is performed by Dave Bray. Good night. God bless. After this little commercial.
The key to financial well-being is learning. Like understanding the importance of life.
Folks, DaveBrayUSA.com. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight. You guys in the live feed and everybody there in Blog Talk Radio Land, thank you. Good night. God bless you. God bless America. Peace. Hey, Bobby B is there. Hey, brother. What's shaking? Oof. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. I want to say good night and God bless you and God bless America. Time to go. Love you. Peace.